Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's always a privilege and an honor to come before the people of God. I thank God for the opportunity that he has bestowed upon me where I could come to you each Wednesday night, week after week. And I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and fellowship with us as we explore the Word of God together. Our topic for tonight is, we are being sanctified daily by the Holy Spirit. The scripture is coming from the book of Philippians, the first chapter, the 3rd through the 11th verse. I pray that each and every one of you had a good week and that everything is going well with you, your family, your neighbors, because we're living in perilous times and we have new evils being presented to us every day. But God is still in control. Jesus is at his right hand interceding on our behalf, and the Holy Spirit is living and dwelling inside of us. So I believe no matter what's going on, we can't lose with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Glory be to God. And as always, I'm going to play a song that I think is so appropriate for this lesson on tonight. It's called A Great Work. And the guy that's singing the song is talking about the great work that God is doing in and through us. So I'm going to play the song, and then we're going to come back and go to God's throne of grace in prayer, and then we'll explore the Word of God together.
Sometimes there are obstacles in the road that can leave you feeling low, and you don't know how to move forward. And sometimes there are turns you want to take, but the way gets hard to trace. Now you're wondering, how did you get here? But don't you give up until you see how God is ordering your steps so you can walk into your seats. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. Our God is faithful. The Lord and receive a harvest for your seed. And in due time, God will blow your mind with what he planted inside of you to bless the world and God is doing a great work He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me. God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me.
God is doing a great work.
So what should be considered as we proceed is that this work did not begin with you. Our mother's mother and father's father planted seeds when we were but the faint notion of a dream in their mind. They hope for a harvest, a legacy, a great work. So may your next step forward help us to connect the dots and see this picture of greatness. In fact, I hear God say that you are His workmanship, His masterpiece, created for such a time as this. A great work, a great, great, great work. So God be great. Don't get discouraged.
Amen. The song said God is doing a great work in you. So even if you have to encourage yourself, go on, because God is doing a great work in you. And he says he's able to perform it until Jesus returns. And at this time, we have to go to the throne of grace and prayer. Anyone would like to lead us in prayer this evening, you could press the one button on your phone. If anyone would like to pray. Thank you, my sister, Minister Elyria Mackey, your mic is open.
Lord, we just come to thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for this evening, oh God, that we're able to come together, Lord, and break bread. God, we thank you because your word declares in all thy getting, getting understanding. And we're asking that you open up the eyes of our understanding this afternoon, Lord God, because your word said, he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church. And God, we are the church, and we come to hear what your Spirit has to say unto us this afternoon, Lord. And for that, we give you honor. We give you glory. We give you praise. God, we thank you for Minister Diane, oh God, as she increased, Lord God, and self-decreased. God, we're looking for a word from on high this afternoon, and we reverence you, we magnify you, we glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for our sister, God, that you're using, Lord, in a mighty way. And God, we just bless your name. We give you honor. We give you the praise. And most of all, we give you glory because we realize it is in you that we live and we move and we have our being. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Thank you, Lord, for increase. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, Minister Mackey. You are a true prayer warrior. You never let opportunity pass to pray. And I thank you so much for that.
So welcome.
Well, I'll say the title of the lesson again, because we have more callers that have called in. The title of the lesson is, we are being sanctified daily by the Holy Spirit. We're coming from the book of Philippians, the first chapter, the 3rd through the 11th verse. And always, we talk a little background, a little introduction. So since sanctification is in our title, I'm going to talk to that a little bit, and then I'm going to give the scriptures to back it up. So sanctification, when we look at sanctification, we have to realize that our spiritual life is accomplished in phases and in a process, and it's called sanctification. The word sanctification in most Bibles means separation. It is used in the New Testament as the separation of believers from evil, and it is the result of obedience to the Word of God. Sanctification is God's will for our lives. You see, the word sanctification is related to the word saint. To sanctify something is to set it apart for special use, which is your divine purpose. Come on, y'all. To sanctify a person is to make him holy. You see, we are to be holy as our God is holy. And God is always trying to get us to take on the image of his son and to be Christ-like. That's why God is working in us. Hallelujah. That's why God is working in us. He didn't ask us to do anything on our own. You see, the scripture tells us clearly why we have been created. The scripture says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed in the image of his son. Everything in the Bible is teaching and preaching and pointing to us to take on the image of his son, Jesus Christ. That's why God allowed Jesus to have a ministry on earth for 3 years, teaching us how to love, how to walk, how to talk to one another, how to encourage one another. That's what Jesus was doing, and that's the example we should follow. And once we follow his examples, we take on his image, which is our reasonable service, so that we could be the firstborn among the brethren. And that's in Romans 8 and 29. You see, God's purpose for us is nothing less to be conformed, to conform us to Christ's likeness. I'm not asking anyone to be Christ tonight. Christ was the only sinless person to ever live. I'm not asking you to be sinless. I say Christ-likeness. You see, God work in a sanctification process involve all three members of the Trinity. God, the Father, is constantly at work in his children. You see, because if we look at Philippians 2 and 13, it says, for it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasures. God is working in you to achieve God is working in you to achieve what he wants to get from you. Now that's pretty cool. We're not in this alone. We can't do it on our own. You see, he changes our desires, making us want to please him. And he empowers us to do it. You see, Jesus earned our sanctification on the cross. And in essence, he has become our sanctification. Hallelujah. You see, if we look at 1 Corinthians 1 and 30, it says, but of him, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Because he is the perfecter of our faith, which is listed in Hebrews 12 and 2. You see, but the Holy Spirit is the primary agent of our sanctification. He is the one who produced in us the fruit of sanctification, which is found in Galatians 5 and 22 and 23. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no law. And you see, with that being said, we can have the confidence that the good works that has begun in us, it will be completed when Jesus Christ return for his church. You got to know that when you accepted Christ as your Savior, when God left the earth to go be with his Father in heaven, to stand at his right hand to intercede for us, God told his disciples that he would not leave them comfortless, that he would send them a comforter, a teacher, a guide that would aid them and accomplish what God wants to accomplish in their lives. And that was the Holy Spirit. So once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of us. And he brought the fruit of the Spirit, those nine virtues that I just read. And he's working in us that they could be produced in us, the love, the joy, the temperaments, the faith, and, you know, teach us how to be long-suffering and be gentle and all of these things. That's in us, y'all. The Holy Ghost is working in us to so that it could be produced in us, in and through us. And we've got to remember that the Holy Ghost seals us until the day of redemption. So that's a nugget on sanctification. But I'm going to go a little bit further and I'm going to break it down some more for you. So we're going to look at the scriptures that we have written for tonight. Remember, we're in Philippians, the first chapter. Our scriptures that's going to be read is going to be the 3rd through the 11th chapter. And I want you to know this was a prayer that Paul had prayed for the saints. And when you see it, you could kind of see that it was a prayer. This is one of Paul's prayers. So I'm going to start reading at 3. It says, I thank my God every time I remember you in my prayers. For all of you, I always pray with joy. And Paul wasn't just praying for the Christians that time, he always made mention that even not just those, but everyone that would ever believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. So in essence, this prayer was for us. So when we look at it, we could say, okay, it says, I thank God every time in remembering you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And this is the main scripture I want to focus on. It's the 6th verse. Look what he says. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. The good works that began in you when you accepted Christ as your Savior. Paul is telling you, have confidence, my brothers and sisters, that the work that began in you is going to be carried on to completion when Jesus Christ comes. Number 7, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have put in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending or conforming the gospel, confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. 8, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ. He say, goes on to say in 9, he said, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. See, he's talking to us, y'all. Everything that was written in the Bible wasn't just for them, it's for us. He's saying, his prayer is that our love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. 10, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. He asking that we learn how to discern. And you can't discern unless you have wisdom, and you can't have wisdom unless you act. That's what our brother James said. Those who lack wisdom, let them ask God who gives it liberally. And 11, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory of God, and praise the Lord. He asked that we be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ so that God would get the glory, the honor, and the praise. So, I want you to know tonight that this process I'm talking about, sanctification, I want you to know that sanctification, like I said earlier, is a phase and it's a process. And if you're in a phase, then it's a process that God has ordained when for us to have, once we believe, we need to know. So let's look at it like this. I told you that sanctification happens in 3 parts or phases. The first part are positional sanctification, which is the path. Progressional sanctification, it's what we are in now. And the final sanctification is going to happen in our future. If you look at your spiritual life, you can sum it up as the day we first believed. That's when the process got in place, y'all. That's where the process started. And the process is still working things out together for your good. The Holy Ghost is still working in you so that you could have the fruit of righteousness and God can get the glory. But as the date you first believed, that's when your spiritual life began. You see, our living now and the end of this life as we know it, but it began when we first believed. You see, we entered the positional stage, first stage, y'all, when we first believe. The date is the beginning of your spiritual life. So if you took the date of your spiritual life and you wrote it down, and we haven't died yet, but if it was able to see the date of your death, that's the journey. You see, at the moment we received salvation, we were sanctified or set apart positionally. That is, we are saved from the ultimate penalty of sin. When we first believed, we got saved from the ultimate penalty of sin. Because once you accept Jesus Christ, he took your sin. You see, at that moment, believers understood and acknowledged their sinful state. Because, you see, you might have didn't really understand you were sinful, but when you knew you needed a Savior and you accepted Christ as your Savior, that's the confession that you knew you had sins. Because if you didn't have sins, or if you were sinless, you wouldn't need a Savior. You know, when you accepted Christ, you gave the fact of thoughts that you were unable to save yourself. And you got a little glimpse to realize that work wouldn't do it. You needed. Work couldn't do it. And you needed a Savior. You see, at that very moment, believers was brought out of darkness into light. See, that's why they ask you, are you walking in light today? We have Christians, and of course, anybody that's not saved is walking in darkness. But we have Christians that appear to be walking in darkness once they have received the light. You see, we have been justified through faith, and our position before God has been changed forever. No longer we are dead in trespasses. We are made alive together with Christ. Come on. Our position changed in that we are citizens of the new kingdom. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're in the new kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God here on earth. And I want to tell you tonight, it's not a place, but it's a moral conscience, a moral attitude about the way you live, that you want your light to so shine. You want to be recognized for doing what's right, and you want to please God. And then we got what Romans 8:1 told us. Once we accepted Christ, there was no more condemnation to us which are in Christ, because we should no longer walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And remember, when you accepted Christ, you are delivered from the penalty of sin. We are now part of the body of Christ, living in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, y'all. Do you realize you're kingdom kids? Do you act like a kingdom child? See, we became his children, heirs and joint heirs along with Jesus Christ. We are now in position. When we first believed, y'all, look how good God is. I ain't talking about how you got more holy 10 years from your first beginning, how you finally got illumination and revelation. I'm talking about when we first believe, because it's called positional. But you got in position to receive all that God has prepared for his people, his blessings, his promises, his protection, his provision, his grace, his mercy. You got it all. You got in position to receive it all. And we are kept in the position of beloved for the rest of our life and all the way through eternity. Now, that's the first thing. I told you it's three phases. This one phase. See, positional sanctification is the work of God whereby he declares us already set apart and holy in his eyes. You see, once you accept Jesus Christ and you get in position and Jesus take away your sin, God no longer see your sin. When he look at you, he can only see his son. Positional sanctification is not dependent on our feelings or whims. It is a fact of salvation. Even though our action on earth, now watch this, y'all. Even though our action, talking about the Christians, y'all, on earth do not always align up with our position in heaven. Because God said he has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realm in Jesus Christ. He said, but even though our earthly action on earth do not always align up with our position in heaven, but watch this, y'all. One, it will. And if you remember the scriptures I said earlier, the sixth verse said, be confident of this thing. The work that God has begun in you, he's able to complete it. So that's why I use sanctification to back up this scripture, y'all. And we just went through positional. You accept Christ, you got in position. Now we're going to talk about the next step. Because when you accept Christ, all that was done, all that was guaranteed, and all that was given to you. Even though you was a babe in Christ, even though you didn't fully understand, all of that when you accepted Christ, because it was called positional sanctification. You see, but once we are in position by the power of God's grace and then the progressive sanctification began. We got in position. We got all the benefits. And now we progressing because, you know, this is the state we in now. You see, we living day by day. So we progressing through the sanctification process. You see, this process is whereby we are saved from the practice and the power of sin. Y'all got to remember that. The first one took us from the ultimate penalty of sin when we got in position. And now the sanctification that God is working in and through us, come on, y'all, and the Holy Ghost is leading and guiding and teaching us, and we're growing in grace and the knowledge of God. And this process, a point of the sanctification process, sanctification progress, and this part of the sanctification process, we are saved from the practice and the power of sin. That's why you can say things I used to do, I don't do no more. That's why you turn your back on certain things, and because you see, God is working in us. You see, so this is the part we are now, and we're going to be in this part till we die. God has given us all this opportunity to get it right, to take on the image of his son, to show us show him what we're working with. This is almost like our dress rehearsal for our heavenly home. So we are in the progressive sanctification process. You see, when someone is born physically and then they die physically, the marker on their grave might say something hypothetical like 1920 to 2020. It might say 1920 to 2020. But you see, when they put them 2 years, the beginning and your end, come on, Holy Ghost, and they put a dash in between it to separate it. You see, the dash is the time that they live. The dash contain all the facts of what, how, when, and why they did the things they did. Their story is contained in the dash. Now, we got to look at it in our spiritual eyes because I said physical birth. Spiritual birth is the day we accepted Christ. I don't need a dash because it's not going to have any end. Hallelujah. We're going to live through eternity. Talking about the dash. You see, the dash contain all of the facts of what, how, when, and why we did the things we did. It's going to tell our story. It contains, it is all contained in our dash. What did you do for Christ lately? It's going to be in a dash. Only those things done for Christ are going to be able to go with you to eternity. You see, we are now living our spiritual life in our dash. You see, progressional sanctification is accomplished by the Holy Spirit, because salvation is in the act of the Spirit. We are sealed by the Holy Ghost with the blood of Jesus, the believers, hallelujah, y'all. A new position. Come on, y'all. See, once we believe in that positional position and we truly believed and call on the name of God and maybe gave the preacher our hand and gave God our heart, realized we were sinners and couldn't save ourselves and was in need of a savior and cried out to God, when we got in that position cannot be changed, y'all. It cannot be lost. And this is the part I love the most. And you can't give it back. You see, we cannot unsave ourselves, nor can we alter our position before God through any of our works or lacks thereof. You see, once saved, always saved. It is an act entirely of God, so that the righteous man live by faith and not by works. You never went looking for God in the first place. You got to remember, God came looking for you. Romans 5:8 says, but God commanded his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. Here in the dash, we're in the dash, y'all. We learn that God cannot love us no more than he loves us now. When you got in position, before you got in progressive, the way that God loved you, he can't love you no more. Before you were born, God sent his son to save your soul. If you accepted him, when you accepted Christ and God began to love on you, he knew what you was going to do wrong and what you was going to do right. He knew your past, and he didn't allow your past to dictate your future. He knew what you were made up, because he created you in your mother's womb. But he loved you anyway. And God cannot love you no more than he loved you right now here today. Thank God. Here in the dash. This is where I would say we are living. Here is where you have to choose if you're going to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In this dash, you got to just see if you just want to lean to your understanding. Come on, y'all. Or you want to do things that seem right in your own eyes. Or you want to just think you afforded the privilege to have your way. Because you already got in position. You got all of the bountiful blessings. You can't give it away or anything. But what you can control in a dash is how you obey God and how you love on God for as much as he love on you. See, you got to choose this. See, in this dash, you get to choose. Here is where we have a choice to be just hearers of the word or become doers of the word of God. Here is where we can trust God totally in all things or hold back that trust when it's convenient for us. We could do what God asks us to do or only do what he asks us to do when it's convenient. Hallelujah, y'all. This is your dash, your story. When you get before God, this is what he's going to review, your dash. And it's not going to determine if you're saved, because when he gave you positional sanctification in the beginning, I told you, you can't give it back. But he's going to, will he be able to say, servant, well done? Or will you have any rewards waiting for you? Progressional sanctification is a lifelong process of becoming more Christ-like as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit and yield to his control. You see, once we are in position, once we are positional sanctified, the Holy Ghost used the word of God to progressively sanctify us. Come on, y'all, this is a master plan. So that in the end, our holiness align up with our positional holiness. You see, when we see God face to face in glory, we're going to line up, y'all. You see, in this process, as we grow to know and love God, we learn that we can trust his character, his promises, and precepts. You see, here in the dash, we learn who we are. Because you'll never know who you are until you know who your maker is. Whenever he asks us to avoid something, it is not because he's a killjoy, but because he knows that it is not our best interest. And whenever he asks us to do something, it is always because it will lead us to a greater good. Our great task in this spiritual life is to do his will, to love the things he loves. Hallelujah, y'all. And to choose the things he set before us for our good. Here is where we must learn how to receive all that has been given to us once we believe. You see, the word of God is our moral compass. It is a tool necessary to live a righteous life here on earth. It also contains all of God's wills, desires, and intended purpose for our lives. You know, in the word of God, we often go to Jeremiah 29:11, and it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." It also teaches us how to give freely, because everything that has been given to us, come on, y'all, was given to us freely. Psalms 24:1 teaches, "The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein." So everything you need, God got it. And it's yours for the asking. This lets us, come on, y'all. This should let us all know that we are only stewards. And everything that we have is not just for us. Our time, our resources, our talents, the gifts are to be used for the kingdom. It lets us know that if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things will be added to you. Seek God first. You know, and it's never about how much you gather, but it's all about how much you scatter. You see, the Bible also let us know that there will be difficult times. He didn't promise us a rose garden, y'all. It will be trials and tribulation, adversities, hardships, and temptation. And yes, we will mess up. But knowing that God is in total, constant, working all things out for our good, and there is therefore now no condemnation, and we have received everything necessary to live a righteous life, we should be able to keep it moving. It's never will come your way what you're going through, because I'm going through right now. But I'm going to keep it moving. It's not about what you go through. It's who you go through it with. You see, in this process, there will be times when we fall, but we know that God will never leave or forsake us. You see, the word of God teaches us in this process that there is never what comes our way, but who we go through it with. And Corinthians 10 and 13, 1 Corinthians talks about there is no temptation taken us but such as common to man. Nothing that ever happened to you haven't already happened to someone else. So get off your pity party. Why me? I didn't have the love of a mama. My daddy left. There's nothing new under the sun. Still holding conversations about what your parents didn't do. And if we almost 70 years old, something got to be wrong with that picture. You keep looking in the past. So do you bring up the past to try to, and if you're kind of doing all right now, you're bringing up the past to say you didn't have no hope, no help, you did it on your own. Or are you bringing up the past because you failing and you want to blame someone? There's nothing that is not common to man that always already happened, but the scripture says, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God know your early life. He know your shortcomings. He know you didn't have a father. He know, but he don't use your past to dictate your future. And we have to not do it as well. We have to just keep it moving, y'all. And y'all know I have an 18-18 rule. If your parent was in charge to the age of 18 and held accountable, then 18, and if you at least 36, well, you don't have to be 36 because at 18, your parents got through with parenting. You don't parent adults. So at 18, and if you made 36, and you still yakking about what was and what wasn't and shit was coulda and shit, something is wrong with that picture. So if your parents had 18 years and you had the next 18 years and your life is a mess, then you have to put some of that on your own back. We got to get rid of the blame game, y'all, because the blame game was established in the Garden of Eden when Eve ate the apple. Y'all know the rest. And when God came and asked the question, she told him, that serpent you put here made me eat it. So she wasn't at fault. It was the serpent. And God went to Adam and asked Adam about it. He said, that woman you gave me. Now, Adam knew he loved that woman. Adam was glad to have company and many more things. But you see, he did the blame game. He put it on a woman. And that's where the blame game was established. And it has been operating in the world ever since. Leave the past alone. Leave it alone. Just walk in your future, y'all. Be the best you can be. There's no limit to what you could do. A grown person, their greatness no longer depends on their parents. Leave it alone. You see, we're living in a dash, y'all. And your dash is all about you. So leave all of that, them sidebars out. My husband did or didn't do. But there's nothing common. It didn't happen to you. It didn't happen to somebody else. You're not the Lone Ranger. You see, we are being prepared for our heavenly home. because heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. You see, in our dash, God is arranging and rearranging the matters of our life so that we will be able to conform to the image of his son. Now, in this dash, I want you, don't forget that prayer is essential in your dash. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says, be careful, 4th chapter, 6 and 7 verse. Be careful for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. You see, God is reviewing your dash. And it should be your desire to be able to say, all right, all right. Well done, good and faithful servant. He said, wow, you've been faithful over a few things. And I will make thee ruler over many things. And look how he's going to tell us, y'all. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And what's going to go with you? Only the things done for Christ will go with you in eternity. So today I tell you, while you're in your dash, I encourage you, my sisters and brothers, grow and fight the good fight of faith, that your living will not be in vain. And we come into the third stage now, y'all, the third and final stage of the sanctification process. And it's going to happen in the future. Remember, you got in position when you first believed. You got everything. Everything in the first position was all given to you. See, and then you got in the progressional, and you got to do a little work like praying and doing what God asked you to do and listen to the Holy Ghost. And then you see the final stage is going to occur in the future. When a believer died, their spirit goes to be with God. And after their physical life is over, we will be sanctified finally. That is, we will be saved from the presence of sin. Now watch this, y'all. The first part, it took away the ultimate penalty of sin. While we hear not, God is working in and through us to keep us from the practice and the power of sin. He gave us tools to be able, he gave us his spirit to help us from the practice and the power of sin. Now watch this. In the third part, we will be saved from the presence of sin. There will be no sin. So we don't have to keep trying to fight and get it right and answer the flesh. There will be no flesh. Come on, y'all. No flesh, no sin. Since nothing unclean can enter heaven, we must be made perfect at that point. When we go to be with Jesus, this corruptible body covered in flesh must put on the incorruptible, and this mortality must put on immortality. If you're dead when Jesus comes and you're in the grave, when Jesus comes back for his church, the dead in Christ gonna rise first. And those living on earth is gonna be taken up in a twinkling of eye, which is called a rapture. And you see, while we going in the sky to meet Jesus in the air, Jesus is gonna change us from corruptible to incorruptible. We no longer will be mortal, but in mortality. You see, the sanctification of the whole person, body, soul, and spirit, will finally be complete when Jesus returns and we receive our glorified body. Sanctification has three stages. When we first believe, we was justified, called justification, delivered from the penalty of sin. We are in the dash, y'all, which I like to say the dash, and it's called the progressional. And we are now being sanctified daily by the Holy Ghost, which is the sanctification process, which deliver us from the power of the sin. You see, as we're being sanctified and getting closer to God, we don't no longer want to do the things we used to do. That's the phase we're in now. Oh, but God, one day Jesus will come back and we will be glorified, and that's called glorification, delivered from the presence of sin. Sin will be no more. So you see, that's why when we say we was justified, sanctified, and we will be glorified, that's our lesson for today. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. If anyone would like to add comments, make any questions, ask questions, have any concerns, you could do so at this time. God is a good God and worthy to be praised. No one would like to say anything at this time. We'll just do the benediction. And for the benediction, y'all know me. I'm going to use 2 Peter 3, chapter 18, verse. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, in this sanctification process, in this dash, and forevermore. See, we have to grow in this dash, y'all. It's not where we're supposed to stay. We got to grow. As we wait for God, we have to grow into the image of God and the likeness of Christ day by day. Take and look at your dash 5 years ago and look at yourself, what you was doing, how you was doing it, and why you was doing it. If there's no growth, just examine. You know, the Bible, you know, not the Bible, that's not the Bible, but the world says change is inevitable. But growth is an option. We should all be trying our best to grow in the dash. And that's it for tonight. And I thank each and every one of you for calling in. And I pray that God bless you and the blessings that you're in need of. And if it's your desire and God's will, we'll be back on next Monday. God loves you, and so do I. Be blessed, my brothers and sisters, until we meet again. Good night.